The views and comments expressed on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing.
It's the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston, broadcasting to seven continents, consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our Monday Space Show program. I am your host, David Livingston. Thank you for tuning in. Great day in San Francisco, clear air, which we haven't seen for a while, and raring to go. And I hope you enjoy this show because I really enjoyed her panel discussion at the Space Foundation last April. You've heard me talk about iTech many, many times on the Space Show. A couple of quick announcements. One is we're on the 60-minute format today. So if you do have an email question or a phone call for our guest, who I will introduce in just a minute, please pay attention to the clock because we're not doing 90 minutes, we're doing 60 minutes. So make sure you get your comment and question or phone call in before we end the program today. And our toll-free number, for those of you who do want to use it, 1-866-687-7223. The email address is drspace, D-R-S-P-A-C-E, at thespaceshow.com. And remember, you can also use our blog. So to do that, open up the spaceshow.com website, and then all the way to the far right, you will see the upcoming show menu. This is the first show listed, which is also the archived page for this show. So open it up, and comments and questions are down at the bottom. And as soon as you post your comment or question and hit send, I will get it and I can bring it up on the air. Our preferred way, of course, to communicate with our guests is the toll-free number. Again, 1-866-687-7223. But regardless, we do want to hear from you. So hopefully you'll have a lot of comments and questions for us today. Do visit our website newsletter. So our fresh weekly website newsletter is now posted on the website, so you can see all of our programs in detail. It's center right on our website, and if you scroll down, you'll see the programs we have already scheduled for the balance of the year. And for those of you interested in the Space Show store, logoware, things like that, it's in the support menu upper left. Also remember to check and share the Listen Live menu in the upper left, because that tells you how to listen to the Space Show in all of its different phases, including Alexa, which we now provide. And then on the far right, remember we are a 501c3 nonprofit with onegiantleapfoundation.org. We bring you these programs because many of you do support us with your contributions. And as a 501c3 nonprofit, if you're a federal taxpayer, you do get a tax deduction. The same is true for those of you in California, where we are what is called a public benefit corporation. So if you have any questions, visit our parent, onegiantleapfoundation.org, or email me at drspace@thespaceshow.com. We also have corporate sponsors, and you can see their banner ads going across the webpage. Please click on them from time to time, because they do change their messages. And they do have quite a bit to share with you in terms of information. Because we're doing 60 minutes, let me just thank our corporate sponsors rather than read their messages. So we're very appreciative of the New Worlds Conference, which is in Austin, Texas, just around the corner, November 10th through the 11th. And I think that is part of the Austin State Fair, but I'm not 100% sure on that. And their website for more information is newworlds2017.space. And again, if you do attend, I'd certainly like for you to call the show and talk to you and hear all about the event. And the Integrated Space Plan is a sponsor, and you can find out all about what they're about at thespaceplan.com. And then the Space Foundation is a sponsor, and they're talking about the 34th symposium coming up April 18th through the 19th. Their website is spacesymposium.org, and again, it'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at the Broadmoor Hotel. We thank Orbital ATK, and they're a great sponsor, as is AIAA, the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics, and then Celestis, the proven provider of memorial services in space, is a sponsor, and we're good friends with Celestis and happy that they're a sponsor, and I can't think of a better way to honor or memorialize someone who really had a keen interest in space or the stars or the heavens and has moved on. This is a great way to honor that person and to have a really wonderful memorial service for them. And as a reminder, I'm a three-time customer with Celestis, and I, as I say all the time, I think they're probably the finest business I've ever done business with. Pretty hard to say that about a mortuary type of company, but these guys are really, really special. So that brings us to our show today, and you have been hearing me talk about NASA iTech since the Space Symposium, and I got back last April. And Kira Blackwell is with us today, and she is the NASA iTech program executive, and her full bio is up on her website, so you can certainly read about her. But she has managed her own consulting business before coming on board NASA iTech. She worked with several startup companies, provided business solutions, leadership, and business connections as businesses began to navigate through the startup process. She's done a lot of things in aerospace, Jacobs at the NASA White Sands Test Facility, and other things as well. She also, at a very young age, and we may ask her about this if we have time, ran a $3 million store at the age of 18. That's pretty cool. I haven't run a $3 million store yet, and I'm 71, Kira. What do you have that I don't have other than looks, that's for sure. Kira Blackwell, welcome to the Space Show. How are you?
Thank you so much, David, for having me on the show. I appreciate it, and I'm doing great. The weather here is good as well.
What store were you running that was a $3 million store when you were...
It was
18?
A women's clothing store.
In Houston?
In Houston, out of the Galleria.
Oh, okay. Good for you. What happened to it? Did you sell it? Did someone else take it over? Or it was someone else's store, I guess, right?
It was someone else's store that I was running, and I was the youngest person that they had ever put in that position at the highest volume store in the city of Houston. So it was a pretty big deal.
Good for you. So I am at what I believe is the proper NASA iTech website, which is nasaitech.com, correct?
I-T-E-C-H. Correct.
But tell us about NASA iTech, because before the Space Foundation meeting in April, I had been doing the space show for 16 years and have talked to many, many, many NASA people, and I had never heard of iTech.
Well, so, there's a reason for that. So NASA iTech was, it's actually an innovative way for NASA to identify cutting-edge technologies that are solving problems on Earth, but also have the potential to solve problems for us in space. And what I've done is I found a sort of gap in which we are actually not funding these current technologies, but they've been identified as a need that we'll have that are about 5 years out. And over the last 9 months, the companies that have gone through iTech, which is 10, they've been able to raise about $48 million in private investment dollars to help further develop their technologies. And none of that $48 million is government funds.
What kind of disciplines do those 10 businesses represent? Are they engineering, propulsion, or in genetics, or what do they cover?
Well, you mean in terms of the types of technology? So we look
right.
for things that are technologies that we know we're going to need. So, for example, our last call that just closed at midnight on Friday, we were looking for technologies in autonomy, artificial intelligence, high-performance computing, augmented reality, and medical breakthroughs. many of which are technologies that are currently being developed or the private sector is currently investing in. And so if you can imagine, if I have to build a computer that has to go on station and I hire one company to build that one computer that has to go on station, or say I buy five, you know, the cost for that is going to be pretty astronomical, because that company is focused on developing that computer with our specific requirements for space. However, if I go and I buy a computer off the shelf and I could still use that same computer, it's going to be a lot less, you know, of a cost for NASA, a lot less of tax dollars being used for that, where we can repurpose the focusing of those dollars on things that we can't or won't ever be able to buy off the shelf. And so since a lot of these technologies are being developed already, it makes sense for us to just provide a platform where we identify some of these technologies, bring those, we do a down select to the top 10, bring those top 10 in. They're able to sit in front of our chief technologists that represent every field center across our agency. Also in the room are our contractors, and as well as investors that are interested in investing in those technologies.
And you decide on 10 companies, correct?
So the chief technologists do a down select. So the process is currently where we are in we're in cycle three. We just had a solicitation for those areas in technology that I just listed, and we closed at midnight, so all solicitations were closed. It's a 5-page white paper, which makes it much more simpler than having to do all of the red tape that you normally do with a government application. And so it's just a 5-page white paper. If they can't tell me what their technology can do in 5 pages, then they're not ready for iTech. But I have a list of volunteers, serial entrepreneurs, or experts in those particular areas that will evaluate all of the proposals that come in. And then they score them and they deliver to NASA, our chief technologist, and they deliver the top 25. Our chief technologists then do a down select where we sit in a room and basically score them and decide which of those top 10 are most critical from a space application. So the first down select is really looking at a commercialization path, like, is there a commercial market for this technology? If there is, they score it based on the technology and the commercialization path. Then it goes to the next round where our chief technologists take those 25, and then we look at it and say, how critical is this technology for us in the next 5 years, and how groundbreaking is this technology? Is this something that, you know, that will really, is it a game changer for us? And if it is, it makes it to the top 10. Those 10 come out to either one of our NASA centers or one of our facilities. They present, and then that's where they'll meet with our chief technologists, our contractors, as well as investors. And so they're given an opportunity at that time to actually get engage one-on-one. So at that final stage where we hold a forum and they present, if you look on the website, you'll see that it's listed as the NASA iTech Forum. At that forum, five will present one day in the morning, and the second part of the day they engage one-on-one with chief technologists, contractors, and investors so that they can either build relationships from there, exchange information, and dig a little further or deeper on the technology. And it's really been very valuable for the entrepreneurs, because the feedback that they're getting from the chief technologists, as well as the feedback from investors and our contractors, has been really beneficial. Often I've noticed that as one of the entrepreneurs is presenting their technology, you know, they're looking at it for a solution for NASA, for, you know, for this purpose that's specific. But we'll have a contractor in the room that'll say, have you thought about the use of that technology for pilots when they're in this state, and so on and so forth. And so it's usually something that they're not aware of.
And so you end up with 10 You don't down select from the 10, do you?
We do. We do a down select so that we can mentor those top three. We do a down select to the top three where those top three get 6 months of just mentorship. And the reason why is, the whole reason why I stood NASA iTech up is I really didn't want to, I want the entrepreneurs to maintain their intellectual property. And when you get federal funding, we have the right to go in and take your intellectual property. And the problem with that is as an entrepreneur that's, or a scientist that's been working at the bench for 10 years, one $200,000, you know, grant doesn't really equate to that 10 years of work for the discovery that they've made, or I don't feel it does. And so, since I wasn't really big enough coming here 2 years ago to change the entire system, I figured I had to stand something up within the agency that could work within our current regulations that we have. And so when I sat down with the attorneys, they said, well, if you give them even $10, if you give them any money, we have rights to the intellectual property. And if you have an investor sitting at the table with you and talking about wanting to invest in your company, you're able to negotiate, well, you know, I'll give up this percentage of equity in my company, but if it's government funded, it's not, it's an all or nothing. So I needed to find a way to sort of set it up so that it didn't do that. And so this was what I came up with.
So basically you give them a non-cash benefit of mentoring, and that does not trigger the government taking your IP.
Correct. Because there's no dollars that are transferred. And really that mentorship is really helping them get into incubation centers or maybe connecting dots. Doing introductions with some of the right people. For example, one of the companies that you got to see on the panel, Marilyn, who is with, she's the CEO of Acor, and she was able to get into Johnson & Johnson Incubation Center, and with about 2 months, she signed a licensing deal to have a product on the market by January. In addition to that, now we actually were able to, through a non-reimbursable agreement, take some of her peptides so that we could test it in our water filtration system to see if it works. And as a company dealing with molecules and in science, that's always beneficial to have somebody else validate your work. So we were able to get some of that through a non-reimbursable Space Act agreement.
Who actually does the mentoring from NASA? Do you have people or organizations with like experience or similar experience, or how is the mentoring done?
So I'm very fortunate. I have an amazing team, and we all come to the table with various backgrounds. And one of the people on our team, he's run an incubation center. His name's Tom, and he's the one that's his role is to work with the startup companies, helping them identifying what they need and helping them get into, you know, the right incubation center or the next place that they need to go so that they can raise the funds that they need. So I would say a lot of that $48 million that has been raised has been a result of a lot of the work that he's doing. He is not a NASA civil servant. He is a subcontractor through my contractor that I have, which is through National Institute of Aerospace.
So Jack is in Albuquerque with a question for you by email, and he says, David, I'm at work, so you know the drill with email. My question is, can these companies submitting into the competition in iTech, do they have to be working with an already existing technology that they're taking to a new level, or could they be working on something that is absolutely new technology that contains all the risk of new technology that's never even been proven?
Well, and it can be both. It can be the technologies. I don't have a restriction of a TRL level, which is probably what he's referring to. And the reason behind that, I'll just give you a perfect example. InnoMed, they were on our panel that in April that you saw. When I met the entrepreneurs with InnoMed, their idea was on a piece of paper. They had never thought about their technology or a space application for that technology. I generally travel around looking at early stage technologies that are groundbreaking, and I generally can look at the technology and identify a path in which that technology can also solve a problem for us in space. And that was just one of those technologies. I mean, literally their drawing was on a piece of paper. They showed it to me, and I was like, I just asked a few questions about the technology. So absolutely, it can be something that's groundbreaking, that hasn't been developed yet. As an early stage technology, you're going to have VCs that are interested in investing in those technologies, as well as some of our contractors that are interested in investing in those technologies because it's groundbreaking and it hasn't been thought of yet. So it might even be more of an advantage for a small startup company.
How do they find out about you?
So I do travel around the U.S., and I'm a judge for early-stage technologies, but also I would say that, our website, it's public. As you can see, it's not something you have to navigate through the NASA, through a government site. And most of it's coming word of mouth. This is our third cycle, so we kicked this off. We've been running full-fledged since, it's been almost not quite a year and a half, but it's still pretty early, so word is spreading, but that's how you can go to the website. There is a link on the website that you can, a tab that says Get Involved. If you click on the Get Involved and put your information in, if you're an entrepreneur or if you're an investor, or whatever area you'd like to get involved in, it will update and send you a notification when the solicitation opens or when when we need help with, on serial entrepreneurs doing the down select. It'll also notify you when the top 10 are selected or the top 25 are selected and who our top 3 winners are. So you'll get to find out about all that information through that Get Involved link.
So I see you have a news and media category, so I could put the space show in there and get your bulletins and alerts to talk about on the air.
You could, yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, I will do that after the show. So to be clear, because I thought, somehow I thought that the companies were, the winners were getting NASA grants of some sort. So there's no money coming from NASA to these companies, correct?
$0 are coming from NASA to those companies. Again, it goes back to that. If I can buy that from them as a commercial product in 5 years, one, I've saved us a lot of money in the early stage testing, but also those startup companies are able to pursue a commercial market path with their technology and generate revenue that way, as well as getting investors interested. So it's a win for everyone.
Helen has an email for you from Seattle, and she says small companies and startups often miss their timeline, and you're mentioning 5 years. Is there any consequence to these companies missing their timeline, or by that time they would be out of the iTech program in the hands of private financiers or something like that?
So, yes, to answer your question, yes, they would be in the hands of an investor, or they would be partnered with one of our major contractors. So one of the companies that's involved and has expressed interest in staying involved is Lockheed Martin's venture arm of their business. And that venture arm, that's what they do. They invest in what's the next cutting thing. So when they find these early stage technologies, they have an interest in pulling it in, helping it pursue a path so that they could have multiple customers, partnering with the entrepreneur. And then, in 5 years when NASA needs it, we don't guarantee we'll buy it, but it's definitely been identified as a need. And so we have the opportunity to be able to purchase that from them at a commercial market price as opposed to, you know, identifying the requirements specific and then paying, you know, a space sort of cost for it.
Bob is in Tucson with another email from you, and he says, while the companies may be startup or young or fresh entrepreneurial, what about the management teams? We're seeing many new management teams without much experience coming out of graduate school or college, starting businesses in space like CubeSats, for example, and actually getting initial success and fundraising. There were a whole bunch of them at the New Space Conference in San Francisco back in June. Do you have any requirements for the track record or experience of the management of these startups?
Absolutely not. You know, one of the teams that made it to our top three that had their drawing on a piece of paper, their company is Inamed, and each one of them, they're probably 22, maybe 23 by now. But just to tell you how young they are, and no, that certainly wasn't held against them or a lack of experience. I mean, any startup company should, just in my personal opinion, build a board of advisors or something around them that helps them get into that industry, whatever area it is, or they need someone that's working with them on a regular basis so that they can, you know, learn sort of from seasoned entrepreneurs so that they don't fall into some of those traps. But you'll see that, or we've seen that with a lot of the companies that have come through iTech, is they may be really young and not have a lot of experience with commercializing technologies, but their board of advisors, you know, are really strong. So it's just a good balancing act.
How many cycles do you try to do a year, where you start out with 25 and then go down to 10 and then go down to 3? You're doing more than one a year, correct?
Correct. I'm doing 2 cycles a year, and I think my team probably wanted to kill me when I first suggested it, because if you look at the cycle, we run pretty fast getting things done, and but we're able to do it. It has worked successfully. So 9 months, $48 million sort of speaks for itself for those small startup companies. So yes, 2 cycles a year. I don't think we could squeeze one more in there. I don't think my team would probably abandon me at that point if I tried to squeeze any more time out of it.
Now, is iTech for U.S. companies only, or do you look at Canadian companies or companies from India or Europe or elsewhere?
Well, you know, honestly, I've tried to open it up internationally, and, you know, just to kind of go back, when you're starting up a program from scratch within the government, you already face a lot of challenges. So the first cycle, I felt like, after talking to the attorneys, and I felt like it was best that we play it safe for the first cycle. My plan was to, for the second cycle, open it up internationally. And so, as you know, because you mentioned it, that we're now in STMD, what occurred from the second cycle to the third cycle was I had 2 mission directorates that were actually interested in taking iTech into their program, and as an agency, it was the best fit for me to be in space technology. So when all of that happened, STMD was not quite as familiar with sort of iTech as well, you know, that well, and so they just said, let's hold off one more cycle, and we'll reevaluate it if we want to open it up internationally. And just keep in mind, for me, it makes sense because I'm not putting my dollars or my federal dollars into the investment of the technology. I'm, you know, investors do, or some of the contractors are the ones that are partnering with the entrepreneurs to further develop the technology.
Would a company that maybe had already somehow gone public would they be qualified to do this, or are you still looking for private organizations that have not gotten as far as being public yet?
Well, no, we've actually had some make it through in the two cycles that we've had that are bigger companies that are public, and they just have a cutting edge technology that we haven't been exposed to, and it could be something that we could use in the future. And so, yeah, they're not restricted from being able to apply, for that either.
So John is in Boston for you. David, I'm also at work. Kira, it sounds like iTech is 100% your creation, and you took the idea and got NASA to act on it. Can you actually tell us how it got started, how you thought about it, and how you sold it to NASA?
Well, to be honest, I was recruited about 2 years ago to come and run a program at NASA, and as I evaluated that program, it didn't sort of meet my Kira's sort of standard of requirements, which is, I want to make sure that I do things efficiently and effectively. And as I evaluated the data in terms of where these companies are, how well they were doing, didn't sort of, it wasn't something I wanted to invest time in. So I actually said, how about I start up something separate, different? And as I did that, I needed to determine, number one, what was our biggest problem, which is not just NASA's, it's every federal agency struggles with getting the cutting edge technologies from outside into their agency. I mean, we have some brilliant, I would say probably some of the most brilliant people here within NASA, but I know that they're not the only brilliant people in our country. So I wanted to leverage those people. So I said, okay, well, how do I get those people to want to work with us? And then I had to figure out what those challenges were to work with the federal government. So just I being a contractor, being on the outside, working with smart startup companies, I knew that there was going to be automatically a challenge with the intellectual property concerns. And so I had to somehow solve that. How can I do that? So, which is why I structured it so that we don't give any money to develop the technology. But then I thought, well, so who's going to fund the development of the technology? Because if they're small startup companies, that's going to be their biggest challenge is funding, right? Getting the funding that they need. And so I knew that, well, if I just highlighted them as technologies, they weren't going to survive. So bringing in the investors, what do the investors need? Well, they need to invest in something and know that they're going to get a return on their investment, obviously. Well, how can I bring my contractors involved? These are all the things that went through my mind. How can I get my contractors involved? Because if they could work with a small startup company, and they have the same challenge, by the way, with intellectual property. And so I said, how can I get them involved? Well, they would be interested in investing in a small startup company that's going to develop a technology that could solve us, problems for us, but that could also be used for other, they could sell it to different customers other than just NASA. And so, I kind of structured it based around that so that everybody wins in the equation. In the end, NASA has an indirect benefit, which means that in 5 years, if I can buy it from them, it saved us money, but we identified that early on as a challenge. Two, the entrepreneur benefits because we don't give them money, but we have something that no other federal agency has. And I'll share a story that this is a story that I shared when I was in Australia recently. We have something that other agencies don't have. I was sitting on a plane on my way back from the West Coast. It's about a six-hour flight for me to East Coast. And I'm working, and there's a little 8-year-old girl sitting next to me. And she's, I guess, finally had gotten bored with their shows. And she finally says, well, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm working. And she said, well, who do you work for, or what do you do? And I said, well, I work for NASA. And she said, oh my gosh, you work for NASA? And she said, that's my dream job. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, how old is she? So I looked at her, I was like, how old are you? And she said 8. And I think, oh my gosh, at 8 I was probably playing with Barbies. So I said, well, so what would you like to be at NASA? I mean, what kind of work do you want to do for NASA? And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking most kids want to grow up to be an astronaut, right? So she says, I want to build robots for NASA. And I was just like overwhelmed because I'm thinking at 8, she's thought about this, right? And so I generally wear my NASA pin. And so I explained to her that when I came to work for the agency, I have to swear in when I receive this pin, and it's an official kind of ceremony thing that occurs, and it makes it even more special. And so I took it off my shirt, I pinned it on her shirt, and I said, the path you've chosen is going to be very, very difficult. And there are going to be days you're going to want to throw in the towel because the challenges are too overwhelming and the competition is steep. And I said, but I want you to hold on to this pin. And I pinned it to her, and I said, and on those days when you want to give up, just look at it and remember that it's worth the journey. And she teared up, I teared up. But that only happens at NASA. It's that meatball that we call. Uh-huh. It's that meatball. I mean, I can be standing in an elevator and have a kid, like, you know, elated because I work for NASA and they met me. And so we utilize that platform so that these entrepreneurs can present their technology. And some of these companies have received phase 1 clinical trials all paid for because they went through the iTech program. They were not part of the top 3. They were selected as the top 10. Inamed is, you know, when they were accepted to Y Combinator, they said they were convinced that it was a direct result of being selected into this NASA iTech program. Another one of the startup companies, he received $9 million as a result of being a part of the Cycle 2 NASA iTech. So I think we have a platform that, one, because the technologies are pretty stellar, that it gives them an opportunity to raise the funding that they need to further develop the technology. And that was sort of what I had hoped for, you know. I mean, when I stood it up, I wasn't certain. I didn't have 100% certainty that it would work. But I knew what the challenges were, which I had sat down to kind of identify. And I knew the things that we needed to change. And since I couldn't change, you know, federal regulations, I thought, well, how am I going to fit this within these regulations? And so I worked with our attorneys to be able to do that, which is what you see today.
Did the 8-year-old get your name and phone number to call and check in with you?
She did get a card. Well, her older brother that was sitting next to her got the card. He was actually an adult. So, but yes. I look forward to her being a part of NASA at some point in the future.
So, you alluded to something that I was going to ask you about. The 22 companies that didn't make it to the 3, what happens to them? So that they're apparently still sought after, from what I understand you said.
Correct, they are. Just because they don't make it to the top 3 for the mentoring, often, in fact, there are companies that are in the top 25 that, as I read through the proposals, I'm like, wow, we have a contractor doing work like this, but it's not this far along. So let's, hey, Tom, can we connect the two of these companies? Can you just see if they would be interested in talking? Because, again, in the end, if this is a contractor of ours developing something that can help us, I'm happy to help connect the dot, because this cutting-edge technology that's more advanced than you know, what's currently being worked on now, that if they work together with them, it helps us in the long run. And so those, even the 25 as well as the just all of the 10, there's lots of room for them to meet, engage with several of the companies. Northrop Grumman met with 6 of the 10 companies directly after our forum, and then outside of that in their own offices from the last cycle. And from the first cycle, I had a representative from Boeing that showed up, and you know, he wasn't quite sure it was the first cycle, so he wasn't quite sure why he's here. Is it going to be beneficial? At the end of the event, he said there were three companies that he wanted to suggest that Boeing partner with. Then he called back on that Monday and said, by the way, we only saw those 10. Can you share the other 15 with me? Just to give you an idea of, you know, the caliber of technologies that are coming through there. We also had a VC that after the 2 days, they're there for 2 days, a VC is, and, you know, their time is very valuable to them. And he said to me, do you realize that you saved me six figures by being here these 2 days? Meaning the work that we do up front to get the companies to this point when they present to do the down select, identifying the technology, all of that work that we as a team do up front is really, it's so beneficial that he felt like I saved him six figures by being there.
Boy, you need a big testimonial type of story page. I mean, this is incredible. So Beth is in Los Angeles with a question, and she says, you mentioned 5 years down the road buying the technology from the company. I'm assuming NASA is buying the technology. Do they get a deal or they pay real price?
Well, the whole premise behind this is startup companies pursue a commercial path. If I say it's a medical device and I can pay, you know, $1,500 for a medical device off the shelf because that's the current commercial price for that product, you know, that saves NASA a lot of money in the long run. Now, I just want to reiterate, it doesn't guarantee that we will buy the technology because you've been in this program, because we can't really do that. But I will say that these are definitely areas of need that we have that have been identified with our mission directorate offices. And so as we move forward, or as the technologies move forward, I know that there will be it would be easier for us to just buy it, just like it would if we needed something like an iPad, right? We could just buy it off the shelf as opposed to building our own.
Harold is in Chicago, and he says, I'm also at work, David. He says, I have seen some articles in the news lately that NASA may be thinking down the road of some sort of genetic editing for long-duration spaceflight, radiation perhaps, or microgravity. I am also aware of gene editing and CRISPR and other genetic type of technologies that are going forward. So would you be given a mandate, so to speak, to try to find a gene editing company doing research that would be applicable to, say, long-duration spaceflight? Would you actually be targeting for such a company to participate in ITEC?
Well, so with ITEC, I mean, I've seen some articles, and that was actually just recently my first exposure to it. So I've not been in the conversation with anybody within the agency on gene editing and where we're going with that. But I could, you know, I definitely saw an article come out and say that it's something that NASA's looking at. I would say that we have a category that's open, so that if it's not particularly listed in our list of challenges, that category, which is the X factor category, is there for those things that, if, you know, I kind of termed it as if NASA only knew I was developing this technology, they would be interested in it, because being in the private sector, I've heard that often. So I would say if it's, medical breakthroughs is always an area we're going to need, so it could certainly fall in that category. I would say if you think you have something that would be great, then apply for our next cycle.
And all of that information is on your website, correct?
It is. We just closed the current cycle on Friday, so.
So when do you start your next cycle?
So our next cycle will not, I don't know if we even have the dates yet for that, but I would say probably we're going to do our down select in our final is in January. So probably in maybe March or something like that, we'll have the next one will be open.
So John is in Phoenix, Arizona, and he says programs always seem to change and evolve. So as iTech gets a little bit older, how do you see it evolving and changing, and will it stay the same, or might it take on a slightly different flavor or turn?
Well, I'm always flexible for change because we have to be in the environment, in the world we live in today. For me, as long as it doesn't go back, as long as it doesn't incorporate sort of government red tape, I'm fine with that. We have plenty of programs where we fund early stage technologies as an agency, and the entrepreneurs, basically give up their intellectual property rights, and which is fine. We do that. We do that all the time. This is the only one that we have that is set up this way so that it doesn't. As long as the core elements don't change, I'll be fine. But we've modified it as we've moved along over the last, two and a half cycles anyway, because we've had to. There are things that I originally said, well, let's go this path, and then we learn based on user input coming back and going, well, this didn't really work. And so I would say one area, though, that I know that's going to probably grow is there's been more of an interest for contractors and some public companies really wanting to be engaged with us moving forward. Canon was one of those companies that I just met at this Innovate and Celebrate conference. And, of course, they hadn't heard about NASA iTech, but they said, hey, we'd love to work with you on this because this is an area of interest. They've been a contractor for us before. They've built flight hardware. And so I could see that part growing. Another area is, at our last cycle, we brought the EPA in because when I sat down with their representative, he said, wow, we could use this technology here. And so I think that there will probably be some sort of expansion with other federal agencies, maybe tailoring something that might fit their agency specifically. It might not be exactly NASA iTech, but also providing the opportunity for, entrepreneurs to develop technologies and not lose their intellectual property, but use a platform to sort of get the funding that they need to move that product forward. So I think that we'll see probably some growth in that area.
What about at the state level? Are there any state agencies or organizations that you can partner with or that have thought about partnering with you?
Well, when it comes down to it, there's no one I've ever encountered that hasn't said, gosh, I would love to work with you on that. It's always a little bit more difficult when, I guess for me, we do move at a fast pace for a federal government. Those 6 month cycles, I'm rolling forward. EPA is there. They actually identified three of the technologies that were presented at our last cycle that could be helpful or useful for the EPA. And so they're really pushing from within to try and partner with us as we move forward. And I've had other meetings with DOE as well as DOD at their request to try and see if there's a way we could help them understand, one, how NASA's doing it, and then two, for me, let's talk about what your challenges are so maybe I can help you sort of figure out how you can make this work for you, some of those conversations. So, who knows? But I think it'll definitely be something that grows in that area.
Are you aware of any other space agency, ESA, or somebody that has something like this where they don't take the IP of a company? Are you familiar with any, or are you unique in the world?
So it's funny that you say that, because ESA doesn't take the intellectual property. They don't, of their entrepreneurs. and which is great that they've figured that part out. I don't know the ins and outs of it because I didn't dig into it like I did with this one, with standing up NASA iTech. But so I know that it's something that they operate that way, where they don't take, you know, from the outside of the gate taking off, they don't take the intellectual property. I would love to see that change, you know, across the government. But again, it's not in, I'm only one person. I'm not sure I could make that big of a change. But, you know, this is a start, right? We've got to start somewhere.
Oh, I think as it gets better known, I suspect there might be more pressure on other parts of the government to do this as well, even if they are somehow giving money, although I guess that's a congressional act to not take IP, right? That wouldn't just be a policy decision.
Well, you know, ultimately, you know, we all operate under our federal acquisition regulations, our FAR. And so digging into that and kind of understanding, okay, where are the lines drawn? And there is, there was legislation passed quite a few years ago to help protect the small startup companies, not the bigger companies, from taking their intellectual property. But within that, there is a sort of a clause that it ultimately goes back to the attorneys at headquarters to decide. And so, you know, I just think we should reevaluate that as a country, because it's not just NASA. It's across the board in, you know, every federal agency that there is a concern or issue. I mean, just me standing up iTech, I knew one of my big concerns would be a cultural shift so that these small startup companies wouldn't be afraid to work with us because they would lose their intellectual property. And so structuring it the way that I did works. I don't know if it'll work that way with every federal agency, but ultimately down the road, hopefully this will change across our country to kind of help. I mean, if I can provide a platform and, you know, XYZ company is allowed to raise money, further develop it, that technology, for a commercial path, not only does it create jobs, it stimulates our economy, and in the future, it's a technology that I could buy. There's nowhere in any of that that it's a negative for our country or the company or our agency. It's a win-win for everybody involved. And so hopefully down the road, this is something that will be looked at and, you know, considered sort of on the chopping block to kind of change so that we can continue to stimulate innovation across our country.
This may be our last question of the day as we move to the top of the hour, but Paul's in Las Vegas with an email for you, and he said, as I understand it, iTech is part of the Space Technology Mission Directorate, and the Space Technology Mission Directorate is part of the NASA budget process. So how vulnerable is iTech to all of what goes on in the NASA budget and congressional processes?
Well, the great thing about being NASA is we're definitely bipartisan, so on both sides of the aisle. And I know that there's been some concerns within with Congress and SCMD, but honestly, NASA iTech is not of concern. In fact, the White House is very aware. Our NASA White House liaison, Jonathan, he's aware of what we're doing, and it aligns with what our current administration wants in terms of us leveraging private dollars to further develop technology. It's not a growth or increase in our budget, and so as a result, it's been seen as a very positive thing for our agency, for STMD, and the work that we're doing for NASA, so for our space.
We reach a lot of people it's a wide and diverse audience, including many people outside of the United States. So what would you like them to know about ITEC, and what would you tell them to consider about getting involved in and applying and encouraging them to do that? Any sort of guidelines you want to give them, or some way to say, don't overlook us, think about us and do it?
Well, there aren't any, I don't think across our country, there's not any incubation centers that can say that they've helped small startup companies raise $48 million in 9 months. That's pretty astounding. The numbers are astounding. The technologies are amazing, the entrepreneurs. But I would say that, yes, you don't get NASA funding, but the exposure you get as a result of being a part of our program is far outweighs any dollars you could ever get in a grant. And because it's a 5-page white paper, it makes it very simple for you to apply to NASA ITEC. And so, you know, it's something that I think that, you know, you definitely should look at. Often when I travel around the U.S. and I meet entrepreneurs developing technologies, they've never thought about their technology for a space application once, you know, when I meet them. And so it isn't until I start to say, well, can your technology do this? Because this would be great for Earth observation or planetary observation capabilities. And the light that goes on in their head, they're like, oh my gosh. So the other part that this does is it's asking entrepreneurs to think about their technology in a different way and other applications that it could, you know, potentially pursue while they're still pursuing their commercial path. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity.
So what is the actual application process? There's the 5-page white paper, but are there forms after forms to submit, or what do you have to
do? Not at all. It's just a 5-page white paper. That includes your team. That 5 pages includes your team. So I did literally remove all of the red tape that's associated with, you know, applying for government funding, which, you know, you have to keep in mind, there's a reason why all of those forms are in there. I'm sure at some point something happened or, you know, where somebody realized, oh, we needed to change it. For this, that 5-page white paper is enough for us to be able to, you know, find out the information we need about the company, the commercial application for the technology, the space application for the technology, and their team. And so, you know, if I would challenge entrepreneurs to think about how the technology you're currently developing, even if it's not a space application, think about, could it solve one of our challenges for space? Could it solve a problem for NASA that we hadn't thought of?
I bet there's a lot of stuff out there that probably could.
Right.
If one finds out about it. If people want more information, do they contact you, or is there an information spot on your website?
I think on the website we do have a contact, maybe. Look, it's been a while since I've looked at the website. But if not, I'm definitely I get plenty of emails. I'm on the NASA website, so you can find me there, and my email is public. So you can definitely shoot me an email. I have a team of people. If it becomes too much, my team's great. We pull together and share the workload. And so, yes, just shoot us an email if you have additional questions.
You got an 11th hour email from Adrian in San Diego, and he wants to know if NIAC and ITEC talk to each other. The 2017 Denver NIAC meeting had a presentation regarding inducing a crew torpor state for long-duration flights by SpaceWorks Corporation. Does ITEC consider NIAC concepts?
I do not, because I don't go searching for the technologies that have a specific only space application. The technologies that come through NASA ITEC have to have a commercial market application. And so generally those through, like NIAC, we currently fund programs, or we fund some of those initiatives through NIAC. And so I don't want to overlap or replicate work we're already doing across the agency.
But since NIAC actually funds companies, and you have the IP problem, which you have so skillfully gotten rid
of, yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Fascinating. So I've seen you at two conferences this year. Do you attend a lot of conferences? Where will you be next?
So I do, generally most of my time is spent non-space technology. I mean, like searching for technologies. I like to try and search for those entrepreneurs, but I will definitely be at Symposium in April. So, and we'll find out the top three technologists that came out of this last cycle that just closed at midnight on Friday.
Well, I certainly look forward to seeing that presentation again, and hopefully they will put it up on the web after the symposium is over, because as I told you before the show started, we had a lot of interest with Space Show listeners watching that two-hour symposium. So that's a good one for the foundation to do. Kira, this has been really fascinating and talking about, and I'm sure we'll hear more as you continue to take iTech down the road, and I think it's great. And you found a real way to do something that no other government agency would probably have the guts to do, and probably most of them want the intellectual property. So if I were wearing a hat, I'd tip it to you. So.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me on your show. And yes, I'm fortunate enough to work for an agency that lets us try crazy ideas, right, or something that's a little bit outside of the box. And I was also just fortunate that it worked.
absolutely, and we will stay up on iTech as well. Thank you very much, and it's been a real pleasure talking to you on the Space Show.
Thank you, David.
Okay, and listeners, that's it for today. So we thank Kira for being with us and those of you for emailing us. Look at the schedule for this week, and we'll see you tomorrow night, or we'll hear you tomorrow night with Patty Newman from Australia. Goodbye, everybody, from Kira, David,
Bye.
And the Space Show.